Rabbeisa, we're at a very important place in this Heilige Sefer, Chovis Talmidim, the Sefer from the Piyasetz Nereva. Hashem Benokim Domo, B'schus HaYogin Aleinu Amen. The Rebbe is speaking about Darko Shalish, the way of a man, on page Tzadik Gimel. The way is that he knows what it's supposed to do. Almost everyone here really knows what he's supposed to do. Our moment of truth, my friend, is really on Yom Kippur. That's our moment of truth. That's when that's when it comes out. We know what we're supposed to do. Now, what's the problem? The problem is that it's all in our mind. It's all in our mind, but it's not in our hearts. I want to want, but I just don't want right now. But I want to want, which is doesn't really make that much sense. But what it really means is, I know what I should want, but lemaisa, my heart's not in it. So how do I get my heart in it? This is a major, major, important question, which faces all of us. So how do we do this? Zok the Heilige Rebbe, Tzadigimo, my friends. Haskeis Ushma, listen up. Haskeis Ushmaz, listen up, my friends. Something really important to tell you. Ke'ev Halev. Ke'ev Halev is that feeling, the feelings of pain that a person has in his heart. V'hasmodes bakashoscha, and the constant yearning, the hunger that a person has, the want that we're talking about. A person really wants something, he's desperate for it. Behashkafoscha tiluya. It depends on your hashkafa. What does that mean, your hashkafa? The word hashkafa just means your outlook. Your outlook. It really, it's truth be told, I think over here it means really means your inlook. What do I mean? As follows. He'oshir shenisroishesh. An ushir, a wealthy man that has fallen on hard times. He lost his money. Kolzman shehashkafosoyal atzmoy. As long as his outlook on himself, or his inlook, the way he perceives himself, is ka'al ushir. He owes himself for a wealthy man. So what is he thinking? Loma ashirim achirim yesh lehem rav tuf. Why all the other wealthy people, have all the good stuff? V'loma mikoydem gam hu v'chol beisoy rechavim mu'uganim. Mu'unagim, sorry. Him also in his entire house. They had a breitkeit, they had oineg, they had all this pleasure. He's like, I'm part of that group. That's my chevra. This is where I belong. I'm a gvir. As long as he sees himself that way, daigas liboy koshe. It hurts him. It pains him. It bothers him. Vitamid lo yechdal milavakish, and he tells you, will not stop from searching for etzas, for ideas, for avenues. Eich lo shuv lis asher bezes Hashem. He wants to make big bucks. Wants to make big money, because that's where he belongs. V'imachalif hues hashkafosoy ho'ashiva. But if he changes his inlook, ha'ashira asher mikoydem, and he doesn't see himself anymore in that class, umabit al atzmoy me'ato ke'al oni. Now he sees himself like just one of the poor people, like everyone else. As lo yidag, af lo yivakish etzois lo shuvulis asher. He's not looking for ways to get. He's come to terms. This is what it is. This is who I am. This is me. He's not looking for, you know, for ways to make big money. Maybe he'll buy a lottery ticket. Hope he'll find a lot of money. Everyone has dreams. They're dreams. Everyone dreams big, but it's just dreams. Avorak b'machshavto yisbarach. It's only in his, like, in his mind. V'yerak dimyoynos hashirim, and he'll create all these, like, fantasies. Avol b'liboy, but in his heart, lo yichav. It's not going to hurt him. V'lo yivakesh bilti im laharchiv al pascharev. He just wants a little extra bread. V'dira yofo b'martef cham. He just wants to have, like, okay, nice place. You should have at least, should have heating. That's all he's looking for. Because he lost that expectation of himself. I know Yid, he's a very famous Jew. Well, his family's very famous. He had all of his money, over $200 million in a bank overseas. I don't know how he made this very bad mistake, but the bank didn't collapse. And the whatever, what is in America called FDIC, they didn't honor, because he's not a citizen of that country, whatever country it was. So they said, sorry, your money's gone. Over $200 million down the drain. All his money. He did business deals, which went bad. This is when the market was turning sour, whatever it was. All his business deal collapsed. All his money collapsed. The guy has no money. He's still walking around, you know, still going out to eat, and, you know, still, like, you know, proving people don't, you know what's going on, you know, no one knows exactly. I happen to be, I have, whatever it is, I happen to have a little bit of a window into what's going on in his personal life. No money. But in his head, he's still a gvir. Still hatzuch for a gvir. Still proving like a gvir. Still walks around like a gvir. Because he can't see himself as any way. He's still a gvir. He's still trying to figure out how is he going to make back, you know, at least, millions of dollars. The guy doesn't have any money. They're collecting for him, but no one knows that. So Rabbi Sait, what the Rebbe is saying here is, so much depends on how you perceive yourself. You know, I remember when they captured Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein was a tyrant. He was no less than a king or a monarch. He was a monarch. He did kill people. He could have killed people. He was a dictator. And his government was toppled. And when they caught him, they brought him to court. He was in court, and they were, like, asking him questions, and they were talking to him, and he's like, you can't talk to me that way! It's like, buddy, got some news. You know, that's over those times. He's like, you can't talk to me that way! Yes, we can. You're about to die. And that's what happened, you know? But he was still holding himself. I'm a dictator! I'm a powerful person! I'm important! No, you're not. But as long as you see yourself that way, you won't tolerate. I can't, but it's out. You can't talk to me that way. I am this important, powerful person. And a person that sees himself as very wealthy, so he's like, I can't, this is not for me. This is not for me. I'm more than this. I expect more. So he's like, he's not going to be comfortable. And he's going to have that hunger and that desire. When I see, like, a fancy car, I think it's nice. It would be, wow, that would be cool to own one of those cars. Do I'm like jealous? I'm really not. I mean, I don't even have any car, no matter fancy car. You know, my asagas is, you know, one day I spoke to Shua San. I want to get, like, a Fiat. Now, I don't know if you guys know what a Fiat is. It's this cute little guy, you know, that would be cool. I have a car. I don't have any cars. So for me, I see someone riding around in, like, in, like, a Ferrari or something like that. I'm like, okay, you know, it's nice. It's cool, but it's not, I'm like, oh, I gotta get one of those. I would be like, wow, it would be cool. I mean, you know, because it's way out of my league. It's, the emes is, someone, I mean, probably we've said this in Devar Torah, it was going around in the Beis Medrash, about the idea of loisachmoid. What's the issur of loisachmoid? How could Hashem tell you not to be choymed? Hashem's telling you, a person's only choymed something that he feels is shaykh to him. If it's not shaykh to you, you're not choymed that. Not choymed, I don't walk. You know, I believe it was Bridgeport, Connecticut. They have these massive mansions that are, like, huge, mungus from the Rockefeller Mansion and all these big fancy mansions. I'm like, I'm not chaimed. I think it's cool and it's interesting to look at, but it's like, it's, you know, I would like, you know, I would like a, I would like a Diron Arzia Biro, maybe with like, you know, a little bit bigger dining room. That would be like that. I'm, you know, that way I walk into like a bigger dining room. Wow, I would like a big. It's like, that's, you know, I'm not looking for, because it's out of my league. So it's not, it would be nice if someone wants to, you know, give me a mansion somewhere. I'm not saying I wouldn't take it, but it's not something that's not in my heart. Not because I'm such a frumie. It's because it's out of my league. If a person feels this is what I'm shaykh to, this is something that's this is my crowd. This is where I belong. This is what I should be doing. So then he feels like these pings in his heart. Kein kol atzmecha talui b'hashkafoscha ma'u Yisrael. You want to know what does it depend on? If I feel like something I want to want, it depends on how do you perceive yourself? How do you perceive your expectations of yourself? What do you expect? What do you think is what do you have to become? What is like appropriate for you? El ma tzarech atalagia, what do you have to be? What's tolerable? What's acceptable? Yoideya atokvar zois, you already know. Vikvar di barnu mize. You already know what you're supposed to be. You already know a person's supposed to keep Tariq Mitzvahs and supposed to be Eloch and supposed to learn Shas and supposed to, you know that all that stuff. But an Ani also knows that it would be nice if he would be wealthy. Zoicher is Ashroi, and if he lost his money, he remembers it. Umisborech lis Asher, and he would love to be wealthy. Achki von Sherach b'machshavtoi yoidea zois. Being that it's only in his mind that he knows this. It's not in his heart. He remembers what it was like to be rich, but he's given up on that. In its heart, it's not there anymore. In his heart, inside of him, he has a different algorithm. He says, look, I would love to be rich again, but it's just not me right now. It's gone. Lo yidag, v'lo yivakesh, v'lo yishtadel limtzoy shuv es oishroi. The maisei will not have the drive. We spoke about before, everything depends on your determination and your drive. He doesn't have the drive because he gave up on that. In his heart, in his mind, he would love it. But he's not going to be concerned. He's not going to have that hunger. He's not going to do the work, the effort, lishtadel limtzoy shuv es oishroi, to get back his wealth. He's going to be a little bit lackadaisical in his work. He's not going to be, you know, hustling. He's not going to do everything because, you know, what can it be already? Kein yidi oscha b'daitecha bilvad lo daylecha bazeh. In your mind, it's not enough for a person to say, I know what I'm supposed to do. A person has to somehow get it into his heart. How do we get things into our hearts? The father of the Musar movement, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, said, the longest distance in the world is the distance from the mind to the heart. That's quite a trip. How do we get it from our mind to our heart? So a person has to be able to, he has to be able to somehow keep that feeling that he has. And one of the things that a person has to do, says the Pia Setzna, is a person has to have a consistency in his awareness of something. You know, when we think about something once, so it stays in our mind, but it doesn't stay in our heart. When we speak about things, when we talk about them, so then we're more engaged. Our heart, we feel it more. When a person goes through something, a trauma, so if he's experiencing it right now, he feels it in his heart. He knows what happened. But the more you talk about it, the more you feel it. A person went through a difficult time. You don't talk about it. It sits there in your mind. You're not feeling it. But once we start talking about it and you're reliving it and you're going through it, so then it's like, whoa. Every time you talk about it, you get that feeling. So Rabbi said, the more we talk about what we want to be and who we are, the more our hearts are in. And I think that this is one of the challenges that we have today with technology. I want to share with you, this is maybe a little bit of a chiddush. Not a major chiddush, but a chiddush. Technology has lots of challenges. I'm not even talking about internet. I'm talking about music. Let's take a person that has iPods. When I was a kid, you know, you had to buy cassettes and you had to rewind and play and different things like that. But nowadays, people have thousands and thousands of hours of playlists and musics and all this stuff, and they listen to music all day and all night. I'm calling that technology. What's happening? What's happening is people are not thinking as much as they used to think. I think we would all agree. People do not think the way they used to think. People, their minds are off. They do brainless things a lot. They play Angry Birds. They play Candy Crush. I remember I was speaking in a shul in America, and I was sitting with someone who was, they were congratulating him on his grandson, and he was like a Zadie, you know, and he was talking about how he just deleted Candy Crush from his, I was like, wow, that's so nice. Congratulations, Zadie. Like, Zadie is playing Candy Crush. I mean, the poor guy, like, totally brainless. People are spending much less time thinking about things. I think we all agree about that. And it could be he's listening to great music. He could be listening to, it's beautiful music. Could be. But it's brainless. And our entire day is just full of distractions. And we don't think. Now, does that change our opinion? Of course. I really want to be an Erlich Ben Torah. I do. But I'm not thinking about it the whole day. So it's not in my heart. It's not penetrating. It's not going in. Because I'm just distracted all the time. And a person has to be able to feel that. It's not enough to know what I want. I have to feel. Because that's where the hunger comes from. And that's when a person's going through this, like, the challenges of the day, when he feels like he's, like, worn down. If he doesn't get the, he doesn't have the inspiration that comes from his heart, he's not going to be able to do it. He needs to be able to have that feeling. How do you perceive yourself? How do you see yourself? That is a major, major decision in what you become. A lot of times people can look at themselves as, who am I now? It's true. A lot of us are struggling with a lot of things. But where do I belong? Am I like someone who comes from a very prestigious, prominent family? And if I'm prestigious, prominent family, then I'm supposed to be someone very important. And I just like lost my way a little bit? Or am I just like a simple guy, regular, nothing out of the ordinary, and this is where I belong, this is what I'm doing, is like, that's what's expected of me. How do you perceive yourself? The more a person's capable of perceiving himself as big, he will become big. He will become what he perceives of himself. I'll tell you a great story. I think it's a great story. There was a coach for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He was one of the greatest coaches in the history of baseball. Big Italian guy, loved pasta. Anyway, there was a pitcher on the Baltimore Orioles who was a lifetime loser. And he was never very good. And he came to the Los Angeles Dodgers, and all of a sudden he won 20 games, which was a 20-game winner, at least back in the day. I'm not so current, but back in the day that was called, like, okay, 20-game winner. And someone asked him in an interview, like, what happened? That you went from, I mean, he was on the Orioles. And well, I mean, that pretty much explains it already, honestly, but I apologize to the doctor who's here from Baltimore, the person. But that wasn't the explanation. That wasn't the explanation. He said the following story. Listen to this great story. He said It was in training camp, and he was walking in the tunnel, like from the dugout to the locker room, and he's walking by the manager. And as he brushes by the manager pushes him up against the wall. It's like a slight little place, so you kind of like get very close. He pushes him up against the wall, and he looks him in the eye, and he says to him, "Mike, you are going to win 20 games this year." And he said, "Okay, okay." And guess what? He won 20, not 21. He won 20 games that year. 20 games. He said, "Coach believed in me." And that changed his perception of himself. He can do this. I will show you a personal vignette. There's one person in this room that probably heard this story. When I was 16 years old, I was in Yeshiva Shari Torah. And my Rebbe, Rabbi Label Resnick, gave a shmooze for the entire yeshiva. Said, "There's a bachur in my shir." Now, I was one of the bachurim in a shir. I was a kid from Teaneck, loved to play baseball, by the way. Baseball is my favorite sport. And honestly, I graduated a little young, and I'll tell you the honest truth. I asked my mom, maybe I could take a year off and play baseball because I was really good. And my coach told me, I had a friend who played Major League Baseball, Doug Glanville. And I thought that if I would be a pitcher, I could pitch on rotation, and then maybe I could be a pitcher, and I don't have to play on Shabbos. There was a guy in the Texas Rangers who did that. So I asked my coach. He said, "Listen, your arm is strong enough. Give it a shot. Why not?" And I was young, so I was like, "Okay." Like, "Mom, can I?" She's, "You're going to yeshiva. You're going to Shari Torah." I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to Shari Torah." So I'm in Rabbi Leib Resnick's class. He says, "There's a boy in my shir who could be the next Rabbi Akiva Eiger." And I'm there, and I'm thinking to myself, who in the world is he referring to? I'm like, I'm in the shir, it's like only 20 boys in the shir. And I'm like, I think he maybe is talking about me. Maybe he's talking about me. And that was probably the most important moment in my life. Because Rabbi Akiva Eiger doesn't play baseball. Not professionally. Now, truth be told, it's probably talking about my chavrusa. But, you know, he became a businessman. Quite a successful businessman. But I thought he was talking about me. And he totally reframed the way I looked at myself. And I don't know if he was. To this day, I have no clue. No clue. But he reframed the way I looked at myself. Because I looked at myself as, you know, as someone who, you know, I liked learning a little bit. It was fun or whatever. It was good. But it's not like, you know, I'm not going to be anything who knows what. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a second. Maybe I could. You know, Mordechai Gifter was famous. He had pictures in a circle of Gedolim, and in the middle there was a picture with a just a frame that said, you know, why not you? Why not me? Hold on a second. I belong with, this is my crowd. This is where I belong. I belong on this wall. I belong with these people. This is something I can do. Then there's a hunger there, and I'm not going to back down just because I'm having a rough day or a rough week or a rough month. And by the way, after this like big turning point in my life, I had rough days and I had rough weeks and I even had rough months, like a big month where I was like, this is like rough. It's just not going, I'm not feeling it. And, but if a person like says, this is where I need to get to because I believe that I can do this, this is where I belong, then he doesn't give up. He doesn't give up. And he'll get there. He'll make sure. And I'm definitely not, you know, the next Rabbi Akiva Eiger, but I'm trying because someone believed in me. And I was dumb enough to believe in myself. Or honestly, smart enough. There's a saying that we say, my friends, whether believe you can, or whether you believe you can't, you will be correct. You believe in yourself. So then that's me. I belong there. I'm gonna make it there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to get there. Hashem Amar. Va'anoichi tirgalti le'Ephraim. Kochem al zaroisav. I tirgalti, I got Ephraim into the habit, the regilus. Kochem al zaroisav, I'm taking them onto my arms. Ha'av ha'rachamon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mishtoikeik lakachas es kol ish Yisrael. He's yearning to take every Jewish person al yidei neviyah of elav, through his neviyim to him. You have to get yourself into the habit. You have to be consistent with this. Because only with the consistency is it something that's going to break into your heart. There's a son who's getting lost in the gashmis of this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants loshuv lakachas el aviv, to bring him back to his father. V'likpoitz el zoroisav, he should jump into his arms. Kaviyachol. I want to get them into that habit. Hashem Margiloi Sonu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is acclimating us. Gam anachnu tzrichim lehargil es atzmeinu bazeh. We have to do our part. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying you have to get yourself into a certain habit. Start acting like you're someone important and you will become that person. You will become that. But we walk around like we're nobodies. We wear flip-flops, we wear our shirt out, our everything is like just hanging out. Appreciate yourself, respect yourself, get yourself into a certain habit. I'll tell you an amazing thing, which this is a very famous study. They took two groups of people. And they were sending them for an interview. It was a blind interview, which means the person that was giving the interview did not know which group you belong to. One group, they told them beforehand, I want you to sit in the stall in the bathroom with your head between your knees for 2 minutes. Just like this. Like you're like hiding from someone. Like when there's like an earthquake or something. The other group, they told them, I want you to stand for 2 minutes like this. So when someone's like this, they're exposing themselves because they're not afraid. Right? You're like this, you're like afraid. When someone's afraid, not afraid, I'm not afraid. It's stand like this. 2 minutes. And then they went into the interview. And they found that the people that were huddling in the interview, the interviewers found them to be timid, found them to be very close-minded, people that were just weren't aggressive, didn't have confidence. And the people that were able to that stood for 2 minutes like this, they found them to be people who were confident, people that had ingenuity, people that had ideas, people that had energy. As a rule. How did that happen? Because if you carry yourself like in a certain way, you become that. There's like a saying, you fake it till you make it, or you fake it till you become it. You walk around, a person walks around with a certain dignity. And that's what Rabbi Kalish was speaking about on Friday. In this yeshiva, there's a certain dignity. People walk around like a ben Torah. You walk around, and a person should walk around feeling like, I am a ben Torah. And maybe we're not there yet, but we'll become that if we just keep on reminding ourselves, this is where I belong. This is what I'm capable of being. And the more a person carries himself that way, you treat yourself, this is what I want to leave you with, my friends. Treat yourself like you are who you want to be, and that's who you'll become. Treat yourself like you are who you want to be, and that's who you'll become. Says the Rebbe, that if a person expects something of himself, and he puts himself in that becomes he becomes acclimated to that. This is his acclimation. This is who I am. This is what I'm comfortable with. Yeah, yeah, this is where I belong. Then it happens to him. So I understand that we're all struggling with certain things. Question is, can we create that hunger, build that hunger inside of us that I'm going through a rough time, going through, you know, it's challenges, nesiyonos, whatever it might be, but I'm not going to stop because I believe in myself. I know this is what I can do. Everybody said we're going to